Hello and welcome to another episode of the Accounting Insiders podcast. I am Gary Dehart, the host of Accounting Insiders and the publisher of Insightful Accountant and Tax Practice News. My guest today is Joe Kessler. It says over his shoulder there he's director of sales, but he got another promotion or something since that backdrop was made. He's now the VP of sales and marketing, so he does it all. And so, Joe, welcome. Thanks for carving out some time for your day, from your day. To hop on a call here.
Pleasure's all mine. Yeah, good catch on that. I didn't, that's the one thing I haven't updated yet.
That's actually pretty good. You pointed right to it. Now, can you point to the QR code too? Is that bang? Wow. Yeah. And what is that? Where will that take you if you point to that?
So the QR code is actually my business card, basically. Okay. So it's my digital business card and, you know, has all the contact information. So anybody wants to get a hold of me directly that watches this video, there you go.
Perfect. Yeah. And if you're not watching this video, we'll go ahead and throw that out there. How can people get in touch with you? We'll go ahead and throw it on the front end and we'll put it on the back end too. But just in case somebody's listening to this from an audio standpoint, how do they track you down?
Yeah, I'd say ideally the best way is to visit just our website at techguruit.com. And right up at the top right, there's a schedule intro call option. And that'll book a call right with me on my calendar, 15 minutes, and we can talk business and see what tech
can do. Right, and there's a great video, like I told you, shared with you right before we hopped on this. I watched the video, and it's perfect, right? It tells you everything you need to know about what you guys do. But before we dive too far into that, tell me a little bit about, so your Tech Guru is purely focused in the accounting space, and we'll use that broad umbrella of accounting being, you know, bookkeepers, EAs, accounting firms. You're focused exclusively in that space, right?
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Correct.
And so in that space, our space, I mean, that's the space we serve. What are you seeing as, what are the biggest challenges that firms are facing? Let's not focus on tax season, but you know, the biggest challenges that firms are facing, right, in the world that you serve, and that is from a technology standpoint.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'd say, you know, combine that a little bit with, you know, kind of what we see when people come to us as well. But you know, the biggest challenge that I think most of our, you know, clients have when they first start working with us is they've got this, you know, it's compliance, it's meeting compliance, the security requirements that there are, and understanding what that means, what the impacts are of it and everything. So pretty much everybody has received or seen the list of that the IRS put out with the IRS publication 4557 a couple of years back, and then the FTC, which piggybacked off of the FTC requirements that needed to be adhered to, and how they reworked the verbiage so that now, you know, includes the, you know, anybody who does taxes and accountants, just, I mean, everybody in this industry alike for that matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so people look at this list and they know that there's a lot of things on there and they all make sense. Like, yes, of course we need to have it, but usually have no idea how to, it's a lot of work, frankly, to roll these different things out. I, you know, mentioned to you in another brief conversation that it's kind of like, you know, me trying to do taxes, right? Or me trying to do accounting work. And, you know, as when an accountant looks at some of these, you know, security IT related schemes or software bits, I mean, you're gonna have to learn a whole new thing. So why, I mean, you're not getting paid to do that. Right.
Probably don't want to do it. I have no interest in doing it. Right. And exactly. And so you're really, really bad at it. Like you and I both doing taxes would not be a good idea.
So, you know, it's important though, you know, and there's a legal obligation that you have to complete it. So, yeah, I'd say that's the biggest challenge, is just not knowing how to adhere to those things and having somebody to roll that out for them, which kind of leads me to the trend, but I don't want to steal the question from you.
So. That's right. Good. Cause I've got a follow-up to that. All right. So here's the market, right? We've got everybody, you know, a million people or whatever it is included in this umbrella. and that that you guys serve or that have this this technology requirement from you know, the government, right? The federal requirement. So let's call that 100%. Of that 100%, how many of them are actually protected and meeting the minimum requirements? And again, this I'm sure
when they first come to us. When they first come to us?
Yeah, like your experience out calling on people, talking to people in the space.
Yeah. I've not seen any. I'd say 0% are completely implemented. I'd say many of them are closer than they might think. You know, it's they might have I'd say 70-80% of them, that I meet with are probably 70-80% ready to go or in a good spot, right? But so they just need a little bit more work to get kind of over the finish line. So
like on those 70 or 80%, do they have people in their firm who are tech support people? Or are they,
Good. That's a great question there, because usually when I see the ones that are really, really close, it's because they've got somebody who is kind of like their champion, really, of technology. Somebody clearly owns it in their office and knows that they need to have these requirements met and are interacting with their existing IT provider or, spearheading the tasks themselves and trying to do it. So we've got a lot of really ambitious accounting folk out there too that do a great job at implementing certain things. So
but while they're doing that, they're not doing their job that's revenue producing.
Exactly.
All right. So what we have identified so far in our first few minutes here is that if you don't have an IT person on staff or a person who is dedicated to that or owns it, chances are you're out of compliance. Well, actually, chances are you're out of compliance anyway. And if you have an IT person who owns that area of the firm, you are not as bad out of compliance. I mean, most accounting firms or most accountants or tax folks don't accept 80% or 70%, right? They were very... very focused and very meticulous in how things need to be in the right.
So the IRS doesn't accept 80%. Tell you that.
So with that, playing off of that, is the IRS enforcing any of this, or is anybody enforcing any of these requirements?
Not that I've seen, and so time will tell a little bit with this, because the FTC is really where. I understand the IRS pulled most of the requirements for the 4557. So because the IRS has more regular interaction, of course, with the accounting industry than the FTC does per se. So the FTC met recently, and I want to say it was October, and extended actually the deadline for having a number of the compliance items completed inside of your firm. So from an enforcement standpoint, we haven't seen anybody really enforcing it yet, because technically they don't need to be implemented yet. It's like June 9th, I think is June 9th or June 10th of this, of 23 here. So,
not far. But,
yeah. So not far. So we'll see, if the FTC, I don't know if they're going to look at like everyone's, whatever the EIN numbers or whatever it is to, and then just start calling on random checks. But I guess it's within the realm of possibility.
Right. So, and you need to have it. And you need to have it. I mean, it is the requirement, and it's interesting. I worked in the HR and benefits field on a publication in that space for a while. And this friend of mine, he has a company, they deal with the form 5500. And basically very similar in that if you have to have, it's a document. You have to have this document if you are self-insured or if you're a fiduciary of some sort. I'm probably getting it wrong, but you get the point. And most companies don't have this form, or they have it for maybe their healthcare, or they have it for their 401k plan, but they don't have it for the healthcare. And there are major penalties can be assessed if you don't have the form. And it's just a form, just fill, you know, but most people don't do it because they don't have time or they don't have somebody looking after it. Very similar to the challenges, sounds like what you see with tax and accounting firms.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So what are the kind of trends? What is taking place in tax and accounting related to technology? It doesn't have to necessarily just be the WISP, right? I mean, I think most people should be aware now of their requirements with WISP, but what are the trends that you're seeing within firms and how are they handling this? Because you can't turn on TV or your app or wherever it is that you get your news without hearing about a data breach or without hearing, you know, some technology issue.
Yeah. So the way I'd answer that is the typical things that we see missing, I guess, the list are on the list is encryption of the local computers, multi-factor authentication implemented either properly across web-based platforms, but also on the individual desktops themselves. But a big one that is really kind of tricky to implement is security awareness training. So it's actually getting your staff coaching them on how to understand phishing or how to recognize phishing messages, social engineering, and understanding, I guess, the security terminology. You have a commitment it's a commitment to your employees to make sure that they're understanding, you know, how to practice safe browsing and safe email handling and whatnot. Right. So those are probably the three or four that are consistently missing in one way, shape, or form.
And so this, you may not know an answer to this, and I just thought about it as you were talking. So firms have cyber liability insurance. I don't know if they all do, but they probably should. If they don't,
they should. They definitely should.
Do you know if those riders have requirements for these things, like the security awareness training and the MFA and the encryption?
Yeah, they actually do. Really, in a lot of ways, I'm glad you asked that question, because when we established our packages and kind of tailored everything for what TechGuru does, we looked at everything the FTC and IRS does, which is great. I mean, it's a good foundation. I think there's even some holes inside of their requirements, right, that there should more or less be like the minimum recommended solution. Whereas if you look at the questions that are on a lot of cybersecurity insurance or cyber liability insurance applications, is those, if you're actually meeting those requirements, you are well exceeding everything that's on the that FTC and IRS requires. So we built our packages, I guess, long story short, around more or less what cyber liability insurance requirements have, because it allows our clients then the freedom to choose the services that they provide. So, you know, some of our clients even get a little bit into financial planning and stuff like that, whereas they're, instead of just, you know, the bookkeeping, payroll, tax specialists and whatnot, and now they've got SEC requirements. Well, right, you know, if you're adhering to everything on the cyber liability, we found that you actually are now adhering to SEC requirements kind of just by proxy of doing that. So that's that's kind of a long way of answering your question, but
yeah. But no, I really had not even thought about it, even though I've read, you know, here and there, but hadn't thought about it till you were talking and kind of discussing these things. Like, well, that's great. You have all this stuff that you should be doing, and you probably have this liability policy. But first thing they're going to look at, I would imagine, if you have a claim, is, hey, well, let's see your history of your security awareness training. Oh, we haven't done it. Oh, guess what?
We're not paying you anything.
Yeah, not paying anything. So good luck with that.
Or it leads to an increased rate. So if you're not, you know, it's not like everything on that list is a mandatory thing. It's, you know, it's basically like almost like applying for driver's insurance or automobile insurance. Like, have you had a speeding ticket? Yes. Well, your rate's going to be this.
Right.
Do you have two-factor authentication on all of your computers? No. Okay. Well, your rate's going to be this. We're not going to deny you. You're just in a higher risk category. That's
okay. Right. So what do you see as kind of the next steps or the next big challenge that this market's facing? So let's, and I'm saying, and by that, let me try to think through my question a little bit better. By that, I mean, so, you know, phishing, we're all aware of that. Yeah. We know that's a problem. Yeah, we know that we're probably not very well trained to deal with it. And we've seen at highest levels of government, right, get caught in these phishing schemes. I don't even know where I'm going with my questions, but so hear me out. Sorry. So we're aware of the problems that we know about. What are the problems that you are seeing pop up that may not have as much awareness? Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
What is it that you're seeing that we don't know about, or that firm owners and managers don't know about?
Gosh, I almost want to move it off of security a little bit, because security is something that is fairly static and something that we can beat that one to death for a while, yeah. Right? But I think the biggest challenges that many firms are running into now is you've got such a diverse ecosystem of software and products that everybody uses. And if you look at, majority of the firms that we work with, there's just a lot of the software is rowing in a different direction, if you will, or yeah. Growing in different directions. Nothing talks to one another. And you want to roll out a great security plan and really start taking advantage of cloud-based platforms and products, but you've got 3/4 of your software that's going to be able to work with that methodology, and the other 25% of it sitting over here like on an old server. And an old dusty server, and requires just old practices to support and everything. So that's a big challenge that people face, is just the diverse ecosystem of software and the lack of integration. I think it's probably the way I could sum that up in one sentence. It's getting better, and there's a lot of new products that keep coming out to improve that, but you're going to have to, I think most firms end up having to sacrifice some efficiencies right off the bat, some fairly significant efficiencies in a lot of cases to become more secure, to become more cloud-based and flexible with work. So,
okay. So we'll give us maybe 5 more minutes. So what's the typical process then? So I'm a firm owner. I've got, we probably should say, you guys deal primarily 5 and up. And is that 5 employees, or what is that?
Yeah, so, we tried not to put too much of a number on it, okay. So small to medium firms, but, five is usually about the happy spot. So that's staff members. So, that could be, the actual firm owner, and then, four, a couple of admin or, bookkeepers and everything else. So
yeah, anybody that has a computer or some piece of technology needs to be included in that number, right?
Okay. Yeah. So we wouldn't typically include like a contractor that uses like their own computer in there, maybe pops in and does a couple of things for a few hours a week. That's not a user even within your organization. So,
So it's kind of thinking the process, right? So, we've identified, hey, there's, I don't think we've said this, but, tax and accounting firms are certainly good targets for people who want to do bad things. And so let's say I'm a firm owner, it's not tax season. I know I have a problem. I don't know where to start. Where do I start? How do I start?
Yeah. I'll answer that with what we do, and that's we start with a strategic technology workshop or a technology planning workshop that gives us a rather lengthy opportunity, 45 minutes to an hour, to dive into, you know, your firm, Gary, and understand the technology, software, hardware, and things kind of at a high level, at least to see where you're at currently and explore what opportunities exist to improve your security and show you kind of like what it would look like to what a technology plan would look like over the next 12 months, you know, 2 to 3 years, to the extent that we can read those tea leaves, right? Yeah. It depends where everyone's at, but that is kind of the foundation that we start with, is, you know, just a deep understanding of it, and show how our product fits in the solution to provide that peace of mind. That's our initial goal right out of the gate, is just bring everybody to a security baseline and you know, just provide that peace of mind, that get rid of that, you know, any stress and anxiety that there is around security. Because if we can remove that from it, now the conversations can pivot, you know, more towards, you know, how do we move off of this old dusty server to the cloud? Or how do we're unhappy with our practice or payroll or bookkeeping software or whatnot. Can you help vet some new solutions with us? Yes, absolutely. So, but we have to get everybody to a good baseline, you know, before we can do that. So,
right. And is that initial assessment, is that remote, or are you on site? It is remote.
Yeah, it's remote. It's with a solutions architect. I mean, frankly, that's my seat, or one of the hats that I'm wearing at the moment. I've been with TechGuru for about 12 years. I've sat in the service desk in the engineering and project management seats. So I've got a fairly technical background to go with the solutions and the sales engineering side of things. So that empowers me to currently be the best person for that. But yeah, in essence, you have a solutions architect that understands the products that you have and the solutions that are out, and can kind of quickly, you know, throw some ideas or some direction to you. But then the execution of the plan, or the further development of the plan, happens with our clients that are ongoing. We meet with everybody on a quarterly basis to have kind of like a CTO level meeting with you to see where we're at on the security plan or on the technology plan, and making sure that things are getting rolled out, and reviewing the previous quarter and making out next goals. So
So that process, how long does that normally take? I mean, so you said an hour and a half on that initial assessment, but let's say I'm a 10 person firm. And again, these numbers aren't exact means, but, you know, for example, I'm a 10 person firm. I've got, like you described, I've got a little bit of legacy stuff. I've got a server, dusty server over in the corner that I'm trying to keep alive for some reason. But, you know, how long is that process to get me to a point to where you guys go, we're in a great place, we feel really good about, you know, where the client is and where the firm is from a tech support standpoint, from a security standpoint, from a, they're actually using current technology versus 10-year-old technology?
Yeah, it's kind of done in phases. And of course, it depends on the situation the firm is in when they come to us. But, you know, using your example, we settle the security items during the first 3 to 5 weeks of the relationship. It's covered actually during onboarding. You sign up for our package. We roll out all of those security products. We frankly aren't looking so much as where you're at from a compliance standpoint right now, because we're going to be putting in products that are going to make you compliant anyway. So it's, you know, we're not going to focus so much on where we've been, and more focus on where we're going, if that makes sense. Yep. So that's in the first, like, frankly, it's 3 to 5 weeks. It's fairly aggressive in there. You can anticipate for a firm your size at 10, 3 to 6 hours of your involvement or whoever our primary point of contact, right, that's the amount of time that you're going to need to invest. So it's not a big lift on your side of things. It's more to do on our side, of course. But that establishes, again, that security baseline, and at least buttons up all of the compliance issues or flushes them out. So if maybe something can't be brought into compliance, that means we need to replace this device or whatever it is. Certainly that can, you know, lead to a little bit longer lead time based on what hardware that is. But okay, say three to six weeks is pretty confident.
So okay. Then are you, and we'll wrap up with this, are you seeing with your client base or their prospects that you're dealing with, are you seeing, I think the answer is probably yes, but the heavy migration to cloud-based apps, or is there still, are you still on the phone calling people and they're like, no, I love my server, love my desktop?
Yeah. So, I mean, to put that bluntly, that wouldn't be a client for us anyway, or they wouldn't typically look at us if they're, you know, going to be, if they're attached to their server, right? We are motivated in working with, you know, firms that are, you know, looking at modernizing their technology, frankly. So we haven't sold a server at TechGuru since late 2021. And unless we absolutely have to for some sort of reason, I don't see us ever doing that again. And that's a departure from the norm for many IT providers that the bulk of their revenue or so much of their revenue and profit actually has to come from those hardware sales. And as nice as it would be to sell a $30,000, you know, $30,000 server and, you know, and make some good cash, it's right, just not in your best interest, and therefore it's not in ours. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything you want to share that we didn't talk about? I think we talked about most things that you and I had kind of covered prior.
I mean, it's the only, you know, things I guess I'll add, and then to, you know, I would encourage everybody to, you know, feel free to, you know, book an intro call, as I mentioned earlier, visit our website and do that. You know, we can get a little one-on-one time. But the only thing that I'd mention is that, you know, our group is, you know, fully remote as well. Our staff is located all around the country. We don't even have a physical office anymore. So a lot of times we're very familiar with what a lot of firms are trying to do, is just cut ties from physical office, move paperless, create systems that are sustainable in a virtual office environment. So, you know, that's a big thing. And we're doing business all over the United States and even into Canada. We've got 38 states that we're doing business in with firms, and we got two clients up in Canada right now.
So, all right. Fantastic. Yeah. Then
doesn't matter where you are.
Right. As we move out of tax season and into trade show season, as we call it. Yeah. Where will people be able to find you? Where do you guys spend your time?
We went to like a record number of conferences last year. But you know, this year we're going to pare it back. We'll be, we're involved with the PASBA community, and we'll be at QB Connect and probably Synergy for Thomson Reuters, and you know, the Woodard Institute or Woodard Group has a couple of conferences that we'll be at as well. We actually teach a course inside of the Woodard, So, okay. And you know, we'll be creating a community of our own. We've got podcasts that the Modern Accounting, Modern Accountant podcast, which we just launched. So okay, it's got two episodes, you know, as of the time that you and I are recording this, it's got two episodes.
Great. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, we'll need to, I'll have to point out to that too. And then in closing, they find you at, I think it was techguruit.com.
Techguruit.com.
All one word, right?
You got it.
Great. All right. Well, we'll see you at some trade show very soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you can find something to do during tax season, because I, like you said before, nobody wants to talk to you right now. So you only got 6 months.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is, you know, something for accountants that can take this as, away as well. I've been obsessed with a product called Loom, I don't know if you're familiar with it for
the video.
Yeah, it's like doing short little videos and screen sharing and things like that. But they've got an awesome free version that allows you to record short videos and, you know, just review things that are on your mind. So instead of trying to get a meeting together with somebody during tax season, you can record a quick Loom video, fire it off to that individual and see what happens. So
yeah, and are you finding success with that?
Finding a lot of success with it, actually. We're now closing service tickets with Loom. So if you miss our call when we call you, you know, if it's something that we can, you know, answer for you, we're doing things on Loom, and it's the whole new world right now, man.
Yeah. I use Vimeo. I imagine it's fairly similar to Vimeo.
Super similar. I don't know Vimeo's like screen sharing capabilities and stuff like that, but yeah.
Yeah, I've just used it for recording screenshots kind of thing, or not screenshots, but you know, step by step, hey, do this, then that, and that. And works pretty well. And it's got what's it called? Like when it's up in the browser, just like an add-on in the browser.
Yeah.
Click that, pops open, works well. So
yeah. I don't get to take all the credit from it. And we have a client that started doing all of their, or not all of, but at least a bulk of their tax like reviews. Instead of having a long meeting with the client where they have a big Q&A session, they record a 10-minute Loom video reviewing everything on their taxes and then send that over to them. The client can then watch it as many times as they need, come up with all the questions, and then fire the questions over to them and schedule a couple That's minutes great. To review them all. So just maximize that time.
Yeah. Saves everybody time.
Oh my gosh. Right. Yes.
Great. So, anyway. Thank you. If you're ever down in the Atlanta area, give me a shout. We'll go grab lunch.
Absolutely.
Or dinner or breakfast, depending on what time it is. So
yeah. I love my biscuits and gravy and soul food and everything. So
I've got nothing wrong with
that. I'll take you up on it.
Good enough. We'll see you. Thanks, Joe.
Take care, buddy.
Get it.